The 630 Chad Afternoon News with Jalen Nye and Andrew Gross. Weekdays at 2 on 630 Chad.
Dean Bell and sports with Morley Scott. This is the Afternoon News on 630 Chad, Edmonton's breaking news and conversation station.
It's Friday.
That doesn't mean much.
Yeah, well, this is your last weekend of work, and then you're good to go. And
true.
Then next Friday, we're going to get together, and we're all going to say, it's Friday.
That's right. Next Friday, we'll start a weekend
of exciting
actual time.
There's
off.
Still a lot to do.
Sure.
There's a lot to do. It's a week before Christmas. There's Christmas shopping to be done.
I've got my stuff done.
Well, you were out last night picking up some stocking stuffers.
I was. In what can only be described as an awkward encounter. it was like a Saturday Night Live sketch. It was just sort of funny because it was a small little store that you told me about.
It's one of my, I always buy stuff at this little store at Christmas, mm-hmm. and I have been for years.
And I can see why, because it's got some
really
great
stuff,
little
yeah.
items, specifically great items for stocking stuffers, yeah. but other items as well. But there's a point at which I think customer service goes over the top and a little too far. I almost couldn't browse.
You didn't need sausage. You didn't need a drink.
No, it was like, hey, welcome to our store. And, oh, thanks for having me. You know, like it was a cocktail party. We've just cut sausage and we've got cheese and crackers. It's all fresh. I'm like, oh, thanks very much. I've just eaten, which was a lie. I didn't know what else to say.
Because you like cheese and sausage.
Like,
let's be real.
But not typically while I'm shopping.
Or from strangers.
Exactly. On a tray by the counter. And then it was, can I help you find anything? And no, I'm just going to browse. And okay, well, you let me know if you need a drink. You just wave and I'll be right here. I'm like, I don't need a drink.
Jay Lynn told me exactly where it is.
And I found it immediately. But then I felt as though I couldn't just take that one item. Because that seems weird that I would rush in for that one item. So I continued to browse. But it was just, she wouldn't leave me alone. Just... it was like there's a Saturday Night
yeah.
Live sketch from 20 years ago about a Scotch tape store where they sell tape. And the guy comes in and says, yeah, I need Scotch tape. And they're like, oh, what dimensions, what width? What
just tape.
Yeah, he's going, I just need
just
tape. Gauge. Well, what gauge would you, and eventually he just left. And that's how I felt.
It's funny because usually, and it's a little store, and so oftentimes it can get quite packed in there. When I was in there just a couple nights ago, it was quite quiet, and she kept asking me questions and that sort of stuff. But it was a new person in there. She didn't. The owner, I know the owner, this one, I don't know if it's seasonal helper or what.
I think this might have been the owner because your dog was there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you work next door? She says to me. I'm like, no.
She asked me as well. She goes, oh, do you work here in the mall? And I'm like, nope. I just kept trying to move. Like, I don't know. I don't want to be rude here, but this is not a meet and greet. This is not a soiree.
I'm here to get what I need, and I'm out
the
door.
I mean, the part of me was like, can I shoplift this instead? Can I just run out the door with it as opposed to having this conversation with you?
Anyway, a little bit of Christmas shopping still to be done.
Not for me. I think
Carol's
still working.
All my stuff to go back to Ontario is done.
Good.
And then just a little bit for Coach and the kid that lives in the country.
Oh, should probably mention I have a new grandchild.
Congratulations,
Thank
Grandpa.
Thank you very much. Hayden Andrew Robert Shimiro, born this morning. At what time?
Hayden.
11:30.
You said Aiden.
Hayden. Hayden.
Oh, I thought you said Aiden earlier.
I was sucking on a Werther's at the time, but it's Hayden with an H.
Do you know there's a town outside of Sault Ste. Marie called Hayden?
I did not.
Yeah.
Hayden Andrew Robert.
Oh, and you even got the second billing.
I did. That's
Look
pretty
at that,
good. That's like opening act on the main stage.
That's
so
not bad.
Took three grandchildren to get my name worked in, but that's fine.
Oh, the Andrew hasn't been worked into the
it
other one?
It has not.
Hmm. So it wasn't Cole Andrew or?
No, nope.
Or Wyatt Andrew?
Well, I'm the product of divorce, so you have to
they
knock
are,
off the current
yeah, yeah.
ones first, and then eventually, if you have enough children, your name, just by process of elimination, your name ends up there. But not top billing. It's not an Andrew.
Hey, well, you know, Andrew.
A nice
Andrew's a little bit of an older name now, and people are going for kind of the little more
sure. No,
funkier
I get it.
Names.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Like Hayden.
Hayden.
So I now have Hayden, Wyatt, and Cole.
Me, you guys make boys, eh?
When you and I first sat down before these microphones for the first time, I had no grandchildren and no plans to have grandchildren. There was nothing in there.
Well, it has nothing to do with you,
no,
I'm afraid,
I know.
My friend. Nothing to do with you.
Although I did send them a nice CD once of romantic music. One of them, I can't recall. But
did you see?
Yes.
Not too sorry. Not
no,
to interrupt.
Right.
And it was a Twitter stream not too long ago. As if your children were named after what was going on that night or how they were conceived, you know? So your child's name would be a relaxing foot massage and a bottle of wine.
Oh,
that would be
wow.
The kid's name. My
first child would be named Shooter Special.
There you go.
So that's...
And your second one?
Cloakroom. No need to ask about that.
And Maddie?
I don't know about that.
Well, there you go. Can't remember.
Yeah. No, I think that was both Madison and Hunter were quite
planned.
Yeah.
Cloakroom and Shooter Special.
I think that's how much I've matured over the years, because Cloakroom and Shooter Special, and then my next two children were It's Time. And
we better have another.
Do Your Duty, I believe, would be those two.
It was a funny Twitter feed. If you Google it, there's some good chuckles to be had there. Okay, on the show today, no Eagles tickets today.
There
None. Were no Eagles tickets today. We gave the last set out yesterday to Heather and her friend Angie, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
Going to the show.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal, Andrew Gross.
All right, I can't wait.
When you were away, we tried to have a conversation about Bitcoin.
I heard.
And I think a lot of folks, including me, were still confused by the end of it.
By all accounts, the people left more confused about Bitcoin.
So, what we have done...
Yeah. We're
taking another run.
Okay.
Round two. Adam O'Brien, the president of Bitcoin Solutions right here in Edmonton, is going to join us in the studio.
Okay.
Answer all the questions. We said you need to break this down like we're 5 years old.
Combined.
Don't talk Greek to us.
Right.
And so you can text in your questions. And if you want to call eventually, we can probably take some phone calls as well. So I suspect he's going to be here till about 3 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
So we have lots of time to go over this.
Bitcoin makes sense.
Listen to as of 1 hour ago, one Bitcoin was worth more than $22,000 Canadian dollars. Canadian dollars.
Wow.
Adam O'Brien, let's talk Bitcoin. After this. Okay, we decided we're going to take another run at the Bitcoin world. And Adam O'Brien, the president of Bitcoin Solutions, based right here in Edmonton, is in studio right now to break it all down, simplify it for us. First off, welcome, Adam. Thank you for coming.
And I have to tell you, Adam, that this topic has been tried before, as I think you well know.
he was listening.
Yeah. And Jayla and I, the train came off the tracks. So let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
So let me try and jump us off here and see if we can. So could you describe in the simplest of possible terms, what the heck is a Bitcoin and do they actually physically exist?
All right. Well, what is a Bitcoin? The best way that I look at that is it's like digital gold. So it's something that holds a value worldwide. It's something that you know, it's not controlled by any one central body. So that's kind of the best way that you can compare Bitcoin with what is in the world today is just like digital gold. Can it be physically held? No more than a text message or than an email can be physically held.
So these pictures of coins
like the made-up picture.
An artist's rendering of what a Bitcoin might look like. Okay, so they don't exist.
Like, it's pretty accepted to that's what, you know, a Bitcoin is in quotations. But there's no actual physical means to a Bitcoin.
Good. So it doesn't exist. All right. Now, number two.
So then how does it have value?
How did it get created in the first place?
Yeah, so it's just code. So just like the internet is a bunch of code put together by a very, very brilliant man, so is Bitcoin. So it's a series of protocols, just like math. It's a series of code, which is what we're using right now to listen to this broadcast or what we're looking to read the text messages or whatever. It's very similar to that kind of coding. It's just been created by an individual.
Okay. So with any currency...
Sounds crazy.
No, I know.
It does sound crazy, and that's the problem. It's tough to wrap your head around it for
a lot
of folks.
I always think of the Easter Island statues and, you know,
the big things, giant heads.
Exactly. Things like that. So, well, although they physically exist, but if you were to push one into the water and it was no longer there, it still physically exists. You just can't see it. It's in the water, right?
Yeah.
But when it comes to regular currency, it's often determined by how much of that currency is in distribution. So who is at the top of this, I don't want to call it a pyramid, who is at the top of this
you're really sewering me here, aren't you?
chain that determines how many bitcoins, if they're not real, if they're just code, how many are in existence and in distribution?
Well, that's the beauty of Bitcoin, is that there's no one at the top. There's, I mean, that's the reason it's not a Ponzi or a pyramid. It cannot be, because there's no one person or one body that's controlling it, like our government. Bitcoin are brought into circulation by a process called mining. Now, this kind of gets a bit confusing, but at the end of the day,
it sounds like Farmville.
A little bit like Farmville. There's a bunch of computers all on one network, and imagine 21 million Bitcoin locked in a log. Each lock that comes off releases a certain amount of Bitcoin, and the problems or the equations that you have to solve to go through that log get harder and harder as you move forward. So who
created those?
The same guy. I mean, he's
the first guy.
So there
guy.
Is somebody. Yeah. Somebody obviously created this
right.
at the beginning.
Yep. Yeah. So this is created. I mean, everything's created. The internet is created.
Sure.
But there's no one person at the helm of the internet.
Okay.
So it's the same idea as that.
But over time, there's predetermined times, milestones at which more Bitcoins will be mined?
Yeah. So every 10 minutes, a new block of Bitcoin comes into the market.
Every 10 minutes?
Every 10 minutes. And that reward gets cut every 4 years. So right now, we are using a ton of power, not me personally, but we as a Bitcoin community are using tons of power to mine Bitcoin. And that Bitcoin, there's a Bitcoin block that gets released every 10 minutes by solving certain problems. Now, the network is...
So I have to do math to get money?
Well, you don't, but lucky for you, someone else is paying to do so.
There you go. Okay.
And that's kind of what gives it value. So the amount of power, the amount of computing power that it takes to produce this Bitcoin, we'll call it produce for lack of a better term, that's kind of what the quote-unquote miners are kind of basing its value
okay,
on.
Okay, so hang on, though.
I was just going to say, but there's a lot of folks saying, you know, the energy consumption that is being used, that's like a real downside
well,
to all of
I love that argument,
and I know that's just what I'm
being
hearing.
Consumed to print money, to print plastic
okay.
credit cards,
yeah.
to you know what I mean?
Like, everyone's saying it's bad for the environment, it's bad for whatever, and I'm like, I don't know. Is it?
I have 5 plastic credit cards in my wallet right
you
now,
need to
bank cards
you
or
probably
whatever.
Should cut up a
Lucky
couple of those.
Lucky they're all paid off, but
yeah.
He's in Bitcoin.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. The governor of the Bank of Canada declares and documents how much Canadian currency is in distribution at any given time.
Yeah.
And if they add to that currency, that's a matter of record.
Yeah.
And the value of the dollar goes down.
Right.
Without getting into the argument about what the Canadian dollar is based upon, the
which
system,
is nothing. Oh.
Well, it's based on holdings in foreign currency, basically. It used to be based on gold at one time, but let's not get into that. So you say that people smarter than us, and I'm talking about Jay and I.
I didn't say that. Just
it's okay.
But I'm
you
saying
can
it.
Say that. It's all right.
Mine Bitcoin, right? Okay. Now, let's say somebody successfully, during the course of this first few minutes of this conversation, mined successfully some Bitcoin.
Yep.
How do you, as a holder of Bitcoin, know that that happened? And how do you know how that affects the value of the Bitcoin you have?
Right. Well, the value is pretty much, it's a pure open market. So, you know, much like gold or whatever, it's a very, very open market that anyone can look online at any of the exchanges and kind of see what a Bitcoin is worth. How do we know that Bitcoin are coming into the market is because of the blockchain. So the blockchain is the system which Bitcoin rests upon. Think of the blockchain being the internet to Bitcoin being the email. Email needs the internet to function, to survive, it's how it's communicated. And then internet is kind of the train tracks, if you will, that it kind of rides on. So that's kind of the idea. The blockchain keeps a record. It's a giant public record of what Bitcoin is doing, of what transactions are occurring, of what blocks are being mined, of how much Bitcoin is coming into the market at any given time.
Why would the value of Bitcoin be going up if more Bitcoin is going into the market?
Because it's increasingly rare. So there will only ever be 21 million Bitcoin. Now, you can split a Bitcoin up 800 millionth. That's 8 decimal places. So, you know, there's 21 million, but there's a lot of units that you can kind of create out of that 21 million.
Who came up with that number?
The guy
at the top?
It. Yeah.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say top. The guy
Where's that
it.
Guy?
We don't know. No one knows. And I mean,
okay.
if I was him, I wouldn't say I'm not him. I wish I was. I wouldn't be doing radio if I was. But
yeah.
he's remained anonymous. I mean, rightfully so, in my opinion. If I had created the most controversial, you know, monetary system known to man today, I wouldn't want anyone knocking on my door either. There's probably a lot of people that want his head.
So if someone right now, I checked like an hour and 15 minutes ago, and one Bitcoin, it was worth more than 22,000 Canadian dollars. If I had 23,000 Canadian dollars right now and said, Adam, I want one Bitcoin. Could you get me one?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what we do. My company, Bitcoin Solutions, we buy and sell Bitcoin. So if you have cash, you have a bank draft, you want to buy some Bitcoin, then we sell you that Bitcoin that you want. So if you have
And how do you sell it to me? How do I take possession of it?
Right. So we'd send it to you. So through the blockchain, there'd be a record of the transaction, and you would have your receiving address, much like your, andrew@gmail.com. And then I would, type that in or in this case, scan it in through a QR code into my send kind of browser or wallet. And then I would, type in the amount. If you want to buy a half a Bitcoin, it'd be 0.5. If you want to buy a quarter, 0.25. Or, if you wanted to buy $100 worth, 0.0059342 Bitcoin or whatever the math is. And I'd press send and you'd have it in your wallet before you could click OK.
OK. So the Bitcoin has a value, obviously.
Yeah.
You've sent me that. And what's the value of a single Bitcoin right now?
About
$22,000.
Okay. Canadian.
Ooh, that's good. So you send me Bitcoin, and I would recommend you do that.
Where's your address?
Nice. I'll write it down during a break. I also have a car worth approximately $22,000. We'll just say for argument's sake it's not. But I can't take my car into a store and buy anything with it. So it has a value, but it has it's not a commercial vehicle, right?
No.
So how do I spend Bitcoin?
Yeah, so spending Bitcoin, that requires adoption. I mean, think about credit cards in 1990 or in 1995. The common argument was, well, why do I need that? I have cash. I have checks. Well, how many checks do you write, in an average month now compared to how often do you swipe your credit card, right? Things just change. So I think that, adoption is required, but there are places mostly online that you can spend Bitcoin. I don't think it's really beneficial to spend it as a day-to-day currency. I look at Bitcoin as a storage of wealth, something that you can hold wealth in. It's more like a digital commodity, more so than a digital currency.
Number of people recently, including I think the governor of the Bank of Canada, said it's called it short-term gambling, not investing.
Well, I mean, sure, you can look at anything like short-term gambling. I mean, I was talking to a buddy about that the other day. He texted me that, and another buddy that we were in the group chat with is a farmer. He said, you should try farming. Now, that's a gamble. So, I mean, any business, I mean, anything that goes up and down, it's volatile, of course, but Forex trading, I mean, how is that any difference? We're trading commodities or currencies. There's no difference there.
The difference would be that they're widely accepted as legitimate currencies and commodities. That would be the difference.
Sure, but if I give you, 100,000 yen right now, what are you going to do with it?
I'll take it down to Southgate and change it for...
at a what percent fee,
I'll
though,
go to the
right?
currency exchange.
Yeah, but you'll have to do that, right? So it's not widely accepted, right? You can go to the bank, sure, but you can come to me and sell your Bitcoin for cash, just like you can go to the bank and sell your yen for cash or your pesos or whatever.
Aren't you going
to
charge me a commission?
Sure, absolutely, just
well,
like
then
the bank.
What are you throwing shade at Southgate for?
Hey, what are you talking about? I'm saying Bitcoin is the same as a yen. That's that's giving it legitimacy.
The difference would be, the leap that everyone has to make is that governments issue currency.
Why is that good?
Well, why is it good that you can't even name the guy who invented Bitcoin?
Well, who invented the internet?
Oh, according to, wasn't it the Vice President of the United States?
I read that somewhere.
I don't think many people trust him, but we all use the internet. So, I mean, we're living in a world where we all use internet every single day. I bet you more than half of the people listening to this right now are using the internet. What's the name of the guy that invented Honda? I bet you his last name was Honda, but I don't know his first name, nor do I know how old he is or where he was born or anything about him, but there's tons of Honda Civics out there. So I don't think that necessarily, the person that is the creator is important, but more so how to use it and how the technology can help people.
A lot of questions coming in at 6:30 here. We don't need your headphones yet. Unless people want to call in and phone, you can do so at 496-0063. But a lot of questions coming in on the text line. We'll take a break here when we come back. More with Adam O'Brien, the president of Bitcoin Solutions, as we try and figure out the Bitcoin world. Stick around.
Gauging conversation with Jalen Nye and Andrew Gross. Breaking news with Eileen Bell and sports with Morley Scott. This is the Afternoon News on 630 CHED, Edmonton's breaking news and conversation station.
3:34 as we have Adam O'Brien, the president of Bitcoin Solutions, in studio, taking your questions, your comments about Bitcoin as we try to make our way through for what is a murky world for a few folks. How secure is it against hackers? Someone wants to know.
I mean, Bitcoin is as secure as you make it. So obviously, for most people, the downfall, for myself personally, the upgrade to Bitcoin over the banking system is that there's no one to kind of there's no one to protect you. So if you lose your Bitcoin, there's no one you can call, like Visa or RBC or whoever, and they'll tell you, oh yeah, no problem, we'll just put those funds back in your account. There's no insurance behind it. So in terms of security, it's very important that you talk to someone that you trust, or someone that knows what they're doing, that can help you set up that secure wallet.
Do you pay taxes on transactions of Bitcoins?
Yeah, so Bitcoin's taxed like a capital gain right now, just like any commodity. So you only get taxed when you sell. So if you buy a Bitcoin for $10,000, sell it for $20,000, then you'll get taxed on the $10,000 profit.
All right, so this text.
Some
founder of Bitcoin is currently in jail for 18-year sentence, and the FBI has confiscated his millions in Bitcoin.
Right, so I think they're talking about the guy that invented Silk Road, which is not the founder of Bitcoin. No one knows who the founder of Bitcoin is. Or they're talking about Charlie Shrem, both of which they used Bitcoin as a tool, but they didn't necessarily invent or have anything to do with Bitcoin.
What did they go to jail for?
The Silk Road was the largest drug and firearms, and they were a giant dark web kind of platform.
And that's one of the other things that Bitcoin has been, kind of, it's always mentioned along
it's only
with...
It's for criminals, right?
It's for criminals. Your reaction to that, and I'm guessing in part it is used.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there was a list that was comprised, I think in 2016, early 16, about the top 10 commodities used for criminal activity. Bitcoin is number 8 out of 10. The number 1 was US dollar. So, I mean, like, yes, Bitcoin can be used, just like the internet can be used for horrific things. We all still use the internet. I'm going to refer back to the internet tons because that's the best kind of solution to it. But yes, Bitcoin can be used for very, very bad things. No different than a car can hit somebody. That car is not bad. Cars are not bad. The person behind it is bad.
All right. Adam O'Brien from Bitcoin Solutions in studio. Ida, Don, Mike, we'll get your phone calls in just a second. A couple quick questions. Can you mine for free Bitcoin?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call it free. It costs money to buy the computer. It costs, or it takes power, like tons and tons of power. Actual energy, which costs power through Epcor or whoever. So yes, you get quote unquote free Bitcoin, but you're doing lots of work and lots of investment to get that.
Okay, and what about the blockchain and the code? How is that secured?
Yeah, so no different. I mean, again, it's totally. It's secured by the network, which sounds ridiculous, but it's basically like building blocks. So if a transaction happens and then it's confirmed by the network of miners that are on the system mining for new Bitcoin and confirming transactions, and then another transaction occurs, the transactions kind of cement together and create what's called the blockchain. That's, a chain is known as security because they're interlinked and they're very strong. It's kind of the same idea. Now, it's not susceptible to hackers, which has been proven by, I think, every bank in most, first world countries now, simply because of the way that it's written. It's very, very basic, and no one can go in and steal the Bitcoin unless they go in through your end. So, email is secure unless I get into your computer and read your emails.
Okay. Some questions on the phone line at 496-0063. Ida, you're on the phone with Adam.
Hey, Jaylen. Hi, Adam.
Hi.
I was wondering, Adam, the concept makes perfect sense, but I know there's been a lot of problems with the brokers like yourself because there is no insurance there, and some have gone bankrupt, and some people have tried to cash in, and they can't. What do you suggest there, and what does the person do?
Yeah, I mean, it's an open market, right? So, you're free to use whomever you like. That's kind of foreign to most of us here because we like things controlled by the government. But you can buy Bitcoin from our company, or you can buy Bitcoin from a company in Malaysia or in Russia or wherever you choose to buy. And then conversely, you can sell. So if there's no broker near you, I mean, there's online exchanges, and Bitcoin is big enough now that there are those solutions available. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you definitely have to do some research, and it takes a lot more work than than just simply, you know, going to the bank and trading in your yen.
That's how do you do that research? How do you know?
Yeah, I mean, Google search. I mean, same way you would research, you know, how did you set up your first email account? There's no, you know, there's no email that you can that you can call. There's, you know, Gmail doesn't really have a number.
So what if you Google Bitcoin brokers and go online and read their web pages?
Yeah, well, hopefully you find us. Bitcoin Solutions here in Edmonton, but but yeah, I mean, there are people. I would hesitate to use the term broker. We simply buy and sell Bitcoin, so we try and stay clear of the term broker. But yeah, there's loads of people, you know, both companies and personal people that will buy and sell Bitcoin.
Before you take the next call,
thanks Ida.
Let me take another run at this.
Okay.
There's an algorithm which is releasing more bitcoins.
Yes.
So what was the first bitcoin worth?
Oh, less than pennies. There was a transaction in 2010 that occurred for two pieces of pizza. It cost 10,000 bitcoin.
Okay. So it was worth pennies. It's currently worth $22,000.
Yeah.
The algorithm has a beginning and an end.
Well, yes. The very last Bitcoin will be mined and released into the market. It won't be in our lifetime right now because of the predictability of the rate. But yes, that algorithm will cease to bring new Bitcoin into the market. But
okay.
The algorithm of the blockchain, the algorithm that confirms transactions, will never cease.
Okay. So what you're saying is not to worry. When the algorithm runs its course, you'll still be able to buy and trade Bitcoin.
Of course. Yeah, there just
that's
won't
what you're saying.
Coming in.
But what I'm asking is, if I bought it at pennies and it's worth $22,000 now, good for me. If it's completely legit, great. But if I buy in now at $22,000, what margin is left for me to make any money on bitcoins?
I had the same question asked to me at $100, at $1,000, at $2,000, and $5,000, and $10,000, and $15,000, and here we are again at $20,000 asking the same question. So, I mean, I've got a friend that at Bitcoin was $1,200, and I texted him. I said, "Hey, man, like you gotta like this is gonna start to move here. You better go." And he said, "No, it's $1,200 right now. When it goes under $1,000, I'll buy." Well,
never did.
Hmm.
Is it, you know, a lot of folks are talking about this bubble and it's going to burst sooner or later.
I mean, the
we've seen quite some volatility in the last few months.
It's been a wild ride. And I mean, the same thing happened on a percentage scale when Bitcoin went from $100 to $1,000. You know, that was a very dramatic and huge increase. The reason I don't think this is a bubble is because there's an actual use case and there's no company behind it. So, you know, people compare this to the dot-com bubble, which is a bunch of companies that had uses and CEOs. You know, it wasn't a product. It wasn't, it's not the same. It's not apples and apples. It's apples and oranges at that point.
Don has a question for Adam. Hi, Don.
Hey, Don.
I have a few questions. I've been watching Bitcoin since the beginning of time. Unfortunately, I didn't buy any. I was trying to get my techie friends to do it for me, so I guess I don't get to retire. I guess my questions are, there's trillions of dollars worth of Bitcoin sitting in an account that's been untouched.
Well, not trillions, but definitely millions, yeah.
Okay. The other question is like when they get lost, like there was a story about where a guy had a bunch of Bitcoins on his hard drive and his girlfriend threw it out.
Yep.
It was worth $1.5 million back when Bitcoin was worth $50.
Yeah.
Trying to remember the third question. Okay, when they put it on the stock exchange, is that going to reduce the volatility of going up and down? Because one day it's worth $20,000, the next day it's worth $13,000, then it's back up to $16,000. So I know it's more of a commodity than a currency exchange, but let's say I sell you my house and you pay for it in bitcoins, and today it's worth $20,000, and a few days later it's worth $13,000. I'm obviously not getting the full value for my house, so I'd have to wait for it to go back up. And as for the value of Bitcoin, Webbot data report, they predict the future kind of thing. Anyway, they predicted the end of last year that Bitcoin would hit $20,000. Now it's over, but now there's guys predicting it's going to go into 2 million range, so who's right and who's wrong, I'm not really sure, but the Webbot data is usually pretty accurate.
Yeah, I mean, both those predictions were Bitcoin going up, 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 so I'd agree with both those. But sorry, Don, I don't have a pen and paper. I wasn't writing other questions in order. I was hoping to answer.
So the question about the security, but the fellow that lost
earlier, I mean, if you had a duffel bag and you're one of those guys that just puts money in a old coffee can and then hides it under the dirt, that money's gone. So similar to Bitcoin, if you lose it, if you throw that duffel bag or that coffee can in the garbage, that cash is gone, just the same as that Bitcoin would be gone. So or that those bricks of gold or those coins of silver or what have you. So I mean, in terms of security, you definitely have to make sure that you are aware where your coins are and that you secure them properly.
So let's say we had a solar flare tomorrow in North America and all the Bitcoins in North America got wiped off the hard drives of the computers, right? Well, I guess what I'm asking is, you almost answered the question. I didn't quite catch it all, but you were saying that it keeps reproducing itself as it exchanges. Is that how the mining works?
No. Like, so first of all, if there was a solar flare and every single hard drive got wiped, there's private keys. So if you secure your Bitcoin properly, then you hold your own private key, and that private key can actually be held offline. So even if there was a solar flare, then you would drive over to the next nearest, I don't know, at that point it'd be post-apocalyptic cafe of some kind, and then you'd import your private key.
Okay, so you can actually store it on a hard drive and
A small USB stick.
Sorry,
you can tattoo it to your arm, whatever you want to do.
Okay, so you can put it on a stick and keep it in your pocket, wrap it in aluminum foil or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
And then you can just transport it wherever. And because normally if a solar flare hits, it's only going to hit one part of the planet, right?
Well, normally, because I'm not sure how often that happens. But yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely a lot safer. I mean, you know, put it this way. If there's a solar flare, if you're worried about your Bitcoin, what's going to happen to our banking system that's totally reliant on the internet and how things move?
Well, there was a case back in the 80s where Quebec got hit, but the rest of Canada was untouched, right? So it was an isolated incident. So, and it took the power grid off and everything, but any magnetically stored memory gets taken out when there's a solar flare. So that was just my question. I know you can protect against it by putting in a steel grounded container, but
no, yeah, but you don't have to with Bitcoin. It's a simple private key. It's about 40 integers that you can keep on paper, you can keep it on a USB stick, you can keep it on your computer, you can keep it on your phone.
And where do I enter that key?
Hey, so that's through the Bitcoin code, the wallet applications, you would enter it. It does take a bit of technical, you know, that's the reason why this isn't mainstream, is because it does take some getting used to. But no,
thanks for the call, Don.
You know, back in the day when computers, you know, it took a brain surgeon to try and use a computer back in the day, and now you're using. I can see two in front of you, so.
And I'm
you're
no brain
man.
Surgeon.
Yeah. Look, and I got three of them over here, and everyone's going, "Woo!" Someone actually texted in and said, "Jalen, you're very quiet. Are you doodling in the corners?" I'm like, "No, I'm figuring it out." It's 2:56 or 2:46 on the 6:30 Chet afternoon news. Mike, we'll get your phone calls and a couple more questions at 6:30 right after this. Adam O'Brien, the president of Bitcoin Solutions, in studio this afternoon. Things are becoming clearer and clearer. I know a lot of you still have a lot of questions. Folks want to know if people are selling gold to buy Bitcoin.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah. We work very closely with certain commodity brokers, and yeah, there's people, they cannot keep up with the amount of gold and silver coming in.
I talked to a fellow the other day who said he knew people who were taking like second mortgages on their house to get in on this.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking. I mean, when everyone asks me, you know, should I buy? My number one answer is one, I don't know, like do your own research. And number two, short term, this is very risky. Short term, you know, there's been a ton of short term gains. So everyone thinks it's the next best thing. Long term, I think it's a pretty safe bet. Personally, obviously, this is what my livelihood.
But it's your business, right?
Business.
You've been in for 5 years,
right?
So.
But short term, this could go either way. But I think long term, I think 20,000 is not even scratching the surface.
Mike's on the phone with a question for Adam. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Adam.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, I like your name.
Thank you.
I think I have a solution for your security.
Okay, what's that?
Do you know the Bible, Adam?
Yes, I do, Mike.
Yeah, there's a story in there where Jesus went up to pray for 40 days, and somebody came to him, and I think that same guy is after you.
Mike, it's thanks for the different. Phone call. Appreciate it.
Wait a second. Why did we get rid of Mike so quick? Hey, Mike. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Andrew.
How long you been in this?
Like in Bitcoin? About 5 years now.
Shouldn't you be filthy rich? I'm thinking about last time I was in Vegas, I came back again and I started Googling books on how to win at slots.
Mm-hmm. And simple, just keep playing.
That's yeah, exactly. Get lucky was the answer, yeah. Right? Because totally random, there's no machine waiting to pay out. There's no, you know, formula that if a machine hasn't paid out, it's about to pay out. And anyone selling a book on how to win at slots is simply taking advantage of people who want to win at slots.
Right.
So you know that's got to be what a portion of our listeners, at least a portion of our listeners, are thinking is the only one making money at this is the guy selling Bitcoins.
Well, I mean, sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, we charge a commission just like any gold broker, just like any bank. We do, you know, we offer a convenience and you have to pay for that convenience. I would argue though that buying like this is more than just a get rich quick. This is more than investing. To me, this is a lifestyle. To me, I believe in Bitcoin so much, and I guess conversely, I do not believe in our dollar enough that I am willing to trade dollars, which have this perceived value, for this digital token that has no physical, you know, physical mm-hmm. presence. If you look at what's happened in the world, you look at Greece, you look at Cyprus in the last few years, where their government has literally brought their dollar to shambles. Why would we continue? Like fiat currency has never worked in the history of the world. Why do we think, and why do we put so much hope in something that today, well, it's going to work this time? That's the definition of insanity.
Okay, so are you saying that Bitcoin is less risky than a currency issued by a government, or are you saying it's at least as risky?
Yeah, I'm not really talking about risk here, I guess. I mean, sure, I am. Personally, I do not think the government does a good job of managing our money. I would think the majority of Chetville would agree with that based on some of the texts that come in and some of the phone calls that you guys get. But yes, I mean, it is risky short term. There are risks to it. It could go to zero. Absolutely, the value could drop tremendously. But if you look at what's been happening to our dollar, I don't really think that, you know, there's much of an argument against that value going away either.
Okay. So, and this, you, please feel free to say none of my business. But you got in 5 years ago. Bitcoin was at what?
So I bought my first Bitcoin in 2013. They're about $100.
So won't there come a time? What happens if everybody decides that's it?
I don't think everybody. What happens if everybody decides gold is no longer pretty? I don't want any. Right? It's a pretty big market. I do not, like, me personally, I do not foresee a time in my life where I will trade all of my Bitcoin for money because the dollar will be better. I just don't see it happening.
So in your mind, that's trading. You would be trading for a riskier currency in your mind.
I mean, yeah, long-term riskier. Short-term, definitely not. The dollar is obviously less volatile, clearly. But Bitcoin, in my opinion, is a better bet just because it cannot be controlled or manipulated.
Out of time, if you can believe that. Doesn't that fly by? Adam O'Brien, the president of Bitcoin Solutions. Their website is?
BTCSolutions.ca. You can find us there or on Twitter, BTCSolutions.ca. You can come check us out. We have machines that sell Bitcoin, or we buy it back from you with cash or check.
But I think most importantly, if you still have a lot of questions about Bitcoin, there's a lot of questions and answers
yes.
answered on that. There's tutorials, there's videos, there's, you know,
some FAQs for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, exactly.
They have, give us an email as well.
The benefits, the downsides.
I'm guessing you can email. Also fix my smartphone.
Probably could, but only if you pay me in Bitcoin.
Yeah, there you go. Adam, thanks for...
The 630 Chad Afternoon News with Jalen Nye and Andrew Gross. Weekdays at 2 on 630 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.